of an unbeliever, Lord God, to show them the need for the salvation of Jesus Christ. We all have came on this earth in sin, Lord God, but I thank you because of Jesus Christ that we don't have to remain in sin, because you've given us a way out, and that way out is by Jesus' blood. And I pray that the message that be spoken out of this mouth, Lord God, would touch the heart of an unbeliever, that they may receive your Son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation. Use me this evening for thy glory. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, I pray. Amen and amen. Tonight we're going to be reading from Colossians, the second chapter. We're going to start reading at verse 14. Colossians 2, starting at verse 14, reading down. Those who have it, say amen. As we read in God's holy word. For the Bible says in the book of Colossians 2:14, reading down, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You know, many times people may come up to us like a Seventh Adventist, and they tell us, do you keep the Sabbath? And we tell them that's under the laws of Moses. And they say, well, God said you should keep that forever. But any time you use the word forever, it's spiritual, not fleshly. The Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, for we look not at the things which are seen, that's the natural realm, but the things which are not seen, that's the spiritual realm. For the things which are temporal, that means it has a beginning and an end, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So they forget when God said you're going to keep this forever, is speaking about an eternal matter, not an earthly matter, because you're not going to be living on this earth forever. Now the Bible, in the book of Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word Sabbath means rest. We are resting in Jesus Christ for our salvation. We are taking God at his word about Jesus Christ, because we know that we have sinned against God, and Jesus Christ is God's way of salvation. The Bible also speaks about meat. You know, the Muslims, they say we don't eat pork. And they think by not eating pork, somehow, some way, that makes them very spiritual with God. But the Bible in the book of 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, around the 4th verse, said that the food is sanctified by the word and prayer. So when we pray to God over food, God will bless that food and sanctify that food. And they go with the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. See, there were many things back in the days of Moses that was unfit to be eaten, because God had not revealed man the way to preserve particular meat at that time. But now we're living in a modern age, and we have ways of refrigeration. We have ways of preserving certain meat that we can eat. Mm-hmm. And so we're not under that testament anymore. But the people like the Muslim, because they just take it at face value, and because they think by just not eating pork somehow that they can get right with God, they're just taking it out of its context. The Bible also speaks about in drink. Now, we know we don't go out there and get drunk with strong drink. The Bible speaks about having a little wine for your stomach's sake. You know, Paul was telling Peter that. But we know that God himself had Israel, gave Israel instructions about wine. In the book of Deuteronomy 32:14, it's called the blood of grapes. And I was talking to a Jewish person years ago, and they said, Manischewitz wine is 0% alcohol. So I guess that's the type of wine that God gave Israel at that time to drink. But since we're living in a society that people like to pervert the things of God, they use alcoholic wine, which the Bible calls strong drink wine, that will destroy the body. So that's why when we look at stuff like wine, we have to look at what type of wine was it. They have non-alcoholic wine, they have alcoholic wine. And so we don't want to get involved with something that's going to defile our temple just because we see the word wine. Because we know that man has perverted a lot of things to use it to make money. But you see, all of this was a foreshadow of Christ, the Sabbath, the holy days. Now, every year the Jews celebrate the Passover. But in order to celebrate the Passover, you must have a Passover lamb. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, God sent the death angel to Egypt. And the death angel is going to destroy the firstborn of anyone who has not had the blood on their doorpost of their house. In the book of Exodus 12:12, the Bible says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, a lot of Jews today, they celebrate Passover. But it is sad that they have no blood atonement for their Passover. And they say, well, it's in prayer on Yom Kippur. But if you're not going to follow the instruction by every letter, that means you're not obeying the commandments of God. Now, if we just let it stay there, it seemed like God is saying that even today we have to have a lamb, which we did. But that lamb was Jesus Christ. It was not an animal. And we can see that in the book 1 Corinthians 5:7. As I said, the Old Testament was a foreshadow for the New Testament. God did it in a natural sense in the Old Testament, signifying what Jesus Christ would do in the New Testament. In the book 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we're going to be reading at the 7th verse, speaking about the Passover. For the Word of God says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." So this is the reason why we have to always read the New Testament to see the fulfilling of the Old Testament. But it's sad that most Jews would not read the New Testament because they think it's made up by the Christians. It's like having part of the formula. You got part one, but you left out part two, so part one won't work because you don't have part two. And that's what's going on with a lot of Jews today. They just read the Old Testament and they stop right there, and it seems like everything is in the past. But the presence is Christ. He is our Passover. He is our sacrifice. He is our Sabbath. Amen. And so we have to accept him in order to be in right standings with God. Mm-hmm. Now, when you read the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, God was speaking about the seed of the woman. Now, we know the woman has no seed. Speaking about the virgin birth here. And in the book of Genesis, we're going to read 3. Starting at verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and thou and the woman, and between thou seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Her seed. We know a woman has no seed. What is it speaking about here? The virgin birth. See, the Bible says in the book of John 1:14 that the Word of God became flesh and tabernacle among us. So when God was giving this information to Moses, he was telling Moses that Jesus Christ be of a virgin birth, and that the seed of the woman would bruise the heel of the serpent. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did at the cross. He disarmed principality and power openly on that cross and made a triumph over the minute. But a lot of people may say, well, you know, Jesus Christ going to the cross was not a big thing, because there were many people who went to the cross before Christ, and there were many people who went to the cross after Christ. Well, that's true. That was Roman's way of capital punishment. Matter of fact, on the day that Jesus Christ went to the cross, there were two thieves who went to the cross with him. But because of their crime against Rome. And they said, well, the reason that Jesus went to the cross is because he committed a crime against Rome. Not according to Pontius Pilate. And the book of Matthew 27:24, Pontius Pilate said, I will not have anything to do with this just man. Pontius Pilate acknowledged Jesus Christ was a just man. In the book of 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible said, Jesus Christ once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, which means made alive by the Spirit. So he had to be a just man in order to be a sinful offering of the unjust. And that was Jesus Christ. Because no man that's in sin can redeem a man that's in sin. Sin cannot redeem sin. Only righteousness can redeem sin. And Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. And you know something? When you accept Jesus Christ, you become a partaker of his righteousness. For the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him, speaking of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God by faith in him. So God sees those who in Christ as controlled by his Holy Spirit righteous. That means you in right standings with God. That means you and God is walking on the same side. That you and God is in agreement with the same thing, his holy words. That's what righteous means, that you are in agreement with God according to his holy words. You're not going contrary to the words of God anymore. You have accepted the word of God as your way of living now. Before you were saved, you was going contrary to God's holy words. You was out there doing things your way, contrary to that which God said was right. But now when you are in Christ, you do things God's way according to his holy words. We're governed by those words. Amen. You know? So what we say has a lot to do with what we are, who we are. Mm. You know? The Bible speaks about you shall have what you say. Jesus said in the book of Mark 11:24. So what we say is who we are. And so when we start confessing who we are in Jesus Christ, and God gives us the Holy Spirit, then we can become a partaker of his righteousness by the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. It's because we become a partaker of Christ's righteousness. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd just be just another religious person. And you can see a lot of religious people out there, but they're not doing what God is telling us to do, telling them to do, is to live righteous. They may look upon themselves as being righteous because of their dress code. You know, we see that a lot today. People like to put on all type of garments, and they think by putting on these garments that sanctify them to God. Sanctification is a thing of the heart. In the book of Romans 2:28-29. The Bible says, Romans 2:28-29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh. Now, God made a covenant with Abram, who became Abraham, in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter. And God said that the covenant was based on circumcision, cutting off the foreskin. But now there is a spiritual circumcision, being grafted into God's kingdom by faith in Christ, as we read on. But he is a Jew, which is one out inwardly, and a circumcision not of the that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in a letter, whom praise is not of man but of God. The circumcision is now of the heart. That means that your heart is grafted in to God by faith in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the Old Testament was the New Testament conceal. The New Testament is the Old Testament reveal. See, the Old Testament is like a blueprint that God used for the New Testament. You know, we preach around Times Square. And a lot of the engineers, they have a blueprint. And sometimes they may go over there and they look at the blueprint and they say, this is going to be, you know, they're pointing out different places, different things that's going to be built because of the blueprint. Well, that's what God did when he gave us the Old Testament. He's given us a blueprint of what he would do with Jesus Christ in the New Testament. You have to use both testament to understand God's fully plan of salvation. One without the other, you're lost. And when you get lost, you're going to go out there and you're going to get involved in religion and you're going to stay lost. But when you go back and give your life over to Christ and start reading the Bible by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you can see exactly what God is saying in the Old Testament that he fulfilled in the New Testament. Let's look at the book of Ezekiel 36:26. Now, Ezekiel did not fully understand everything about the new heart and the new spirit, but he just wrote it down. For the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is wonderful. This is beautiful. That God's going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. As I said, during the time of Ezekiel, he didn't fully understand about all of this. We can understand a little bit better now. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Now, when you go to the book of Colossians 1:12 down to verse 14, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's what Ezekiel is writing about over there in Ezekiel 36:26. The transformation that would take place in the heart of a believer when he gives his life over to Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things has become new. Now, we know the old thing is the old lifestyle that you once lived in. The drinking, the smoking, the fornicating, the hanging out at the nightclubs, the hanging out at the bar, doing all these sinful pleasures on a daily basis. These old things will pass away. Why? Because now you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, giving you the power to live according to the Word of God. As I said before, without the Holy Spirit, would just be nothing but another religious person. That's all. You may have your little rules and regulations, but you can't even live up to those. Because you don't have the power to live right. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live right because it brings us into the kingdom of God. And when we're in God's kingdom, God himself has angels around us to protect us. It's a spiritual warfare out there. Satan is out there to destroy God's creation. And if you're not protected by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to fall in sin. And you're going to be destroyed by sin. And we can see that all the time. I mean, why would a person just go out there and just waste his life in drugs? We see that. It's sad. We saw a young lady last night. She's all blowed up because of drugs. Losing her teeth. It's because that spiritual battle that's going on out there, the battle of the mind to get control of your heart for you to live a life contrary to the commandments of God. We see that. Because in this life, you cannot live a neutral life. I know many people think so, but you cannot be neutral. It's, well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the devil either. Well, if you don't believe in God, it means you're controlled by the devil. That's just how it is. You got to blame one or the other. Even Jesus said in the book of Matthew 12:30, you either for me or you're against me. You either gather with me or you scatter abroad. So in this life, you identify to either Jesus Christ or you identify to the devil. In the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the 10th and 11th verse, the Bible called those who are in Christ a child of God and those who are in sin a child of the devil. So we all have a spiritual father, either God through Jesus Christ or the devil through sin. So we don't want to get tied up in all these religious rituals. Even though God used the Sabbath back during the days of Moses, God used the Passover lamb. But Jesus Christ has erased all of that. The Bible in the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter, we're going to start reading around the 12th verse, reading down. Well, let's go back to the 8th verse. We're going to read down to the 7th verse. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 8:7, for if the first covenant had been flawless, then should not be placed have been sought for the second. There was a problem with the first. You know what it was? Nobody got saved. They got kept under the law. Salvation came through Jesus Christ. They got kept under the law by the animal sacrifice. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant." You know, they got involved with a lot of idol worship. They started worshiping statues and all of that because of the association with the people of the land. That's why God wanted Israel to always be consecrated, separated from the people of the land, because, you know, your friends can get you involved in a whole lot of wickedness if you got the wrong type of friends. And God did not want Israel to go out there to embrace the people of the land because they was involved with idol worship. But they did, disobeying the commandments and the covenant of God. "And I regarded them not, saith the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After the days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts." How is that possible? By the Holy Spirit. That's how it's possible. That's why when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit gives you a new mind and a new heart. "And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me." Why? Because of the Holy Spirit, and by faith in Christ. "From the least to the greatest. And I would be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more." Why? Because it's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Not that he's ignoring your sins. He will not remember your sin because they're not there anymore, because it's been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 said, "If we walk in the light as he is the light, we would have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sins." So we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in Christ. "In that," he said, "a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which is decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away." So nobody today is held under the laws of Moses. Nobody today. If you can go out there and you could say, "Well, I'm a Seventh Adventist," but God will not see that, friend. He sees you under his judgment. Or you say that we are Jews, we're just going to just keep the Passover. He doesn't see that today, because Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Jesus Christ is our sanctification. So you have to give your life over to Christ in order to fulfill God's covenant. Everything was a foreshadow of Christ. The animal sacrifice, the Sabbath day. Matter of fact, the Bible in the book of Ezekiel 20:12 said the Sabbath day was a sign for what? Sanctification. In the book of 1 Corinthians around 1:24, the Bible speaks about being, 1:30 actually, the Bible speaks about being sanctified in Christ. So God used it, the manual way under the Old Testament, but he used the spiritual way in Christ. So this is why we need Christ in order to get right with God. The altar is open. Anyone here who has not received Christ, do so before time run out. Because like I said, you can go in the Bible and you can get these old practices out and you can go out there to try to live up to them. But God will not acknowledge that today, because we have salvation in Jesus Christ. If you're not in his son, you're under his judgment. And you don't want to be under the judgment of God on the day of judgment. You want to be in Christ. You want to be sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and controlled by his Holy Spirit on that last day. Please stand, everyone. Tonight we're going to be singing from hymn number 117. Hymn number 117. There is power in the blood. Yes, sir. And that power is there to cleanse you of your sins.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
The blood of Jesus. It's not about skull caps or yarmulkes or scarves or turbans. It's about the blood of Jesus. It's not about eating kosher foods or halal foods or becoming vegetarians. It's about the blood of Jesus. It's not about keeping the Sabbath or the Passover. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the power that changes lives and saves souls. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? If not, you can come up today. The Old Testament told us the Messiah is on his way. The New Testament tells us the Messiah has come. He has shed his blood. He has made the way for salvation. It's not about wearing orange or white or black. It's not about growing a beard. It's not about going around bald-headed. But it's about being washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Will you come up to the altar and be washed in this soul-saving blood of Jesus? As we sing the last verse, you know who you are. Be ye cleansed from your sins. Be ye whiter than snow. Be ye washed in the blood of Jesus. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Is there one? You can come up now. We'll pray with you. There's wonderful power in the blood.
Praise God. The Bible said if you have returned back to the Lord, you've fallen from grace. If you've fallen from grace, judgment. We have the closing prayer by Sister Harp.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious message of your word, O Lord. And we know that the way of the cross leads home. And the cross made the difference in my life. And down through the ages, it was because of the cross that made the difference. The blood sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And because he died once for all No more sacrifices, no more blood-stained sacrifices, but all we have to do is come boldly unto the throne of God, confessing our sin, believing in our hearts what God hath done, and truly knowing we are saved. So, Father, we pray that as your word has gone forth this night, not only just saying amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because even the scripture says, those that cry out, Lord, Lord, there are those, some, that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we pray, Father, that we may examine ourselves before you. And it's not the other person, it's ourselves before you. And we trust that as each one leaves his place tonight, that they may go out believing that Jesus Christ is Lord of their lives. Father, just bless the food, bless your word, and bless each and every one that leaves this place, knowing, Father, it's because of you that we have been redeemed. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.